It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Getting in shape is a pretty common New Year's resolution. But for some, it's not physical fitness, but fiscal fitness we crave. When it comes to our personal finances, balance sheets that don't balance can be stressful. Our guest will help us with ideas to meet those resolutions for 2019 and beyond. Have you made a financial New Year's resolution for 2019? If so, share it with us. What is it? And do you hope to save more in 2019 or maybe spend less? And how will you achieve those and other financial goals? 800-642-1234 to join us. You can email ideas at wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Peggy Olive is our guest. She's a financial capability specialist who holds a joint appointment with the School of Human Ecology's Center for Financial Security at UW-Madison and the UW Extension Cooperative Extension. Peggy, welcome back to the show.
Why, thanks for having me. And can I just say that I appreciate the platform to wrap my head around a subject that's really in my wheelhouse. There you have it.
Thank you for listening. Spending less and saving more are fairly common New Year's resolutions. Paying off debt may also make the list. What do you think, or what do you make of some people's efforts to get their finances on the right track in the new year?
Yeah, I applaud the efforts, I applaud the sentiment, the paying attention to finances, and the top of the year is a great fresh start, as is the beginning of a month, because you can kind of start to get into the flow of your spending. I think the one beef I really have with some of the financial New Year's resolutions that we make is that, like many other resolutions, they just really peter out. So we focus on a goal at the beginning of the year of, like, what you really should be doing with your money. And, you know, lots of times it's driven on guilt or somebody else is kind of imposing the idea. But I like to focus on what your money could be doing for you. I mean, think of it as a little bit more of an opportunity than something that's really going to drag you down and take all the fun out of your life.
Yeah, I do wonder if Christmas spending maybe has some influence there, or maybe I didn't get a big enough gift and I actually have to plan my finances now. I'm not sure. There seems to be a general consensus, though, among financial specialists that a goal for people should be financial well-being. It's a phrase that is not common, but seems like something that makes some sense. First, what does financial well-being mean?
Sure. It's a phrase that's been around a few years, and it's based on some research where the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection and some other researchers, including at UW-Madison, interviewed people all around the country of different ages, and they talked to housing counselors and financial counselors and looked at some of the research, and they came up with four common factors that people who said they had a higher sense of financial well-being had in common. So the factors are having a handle on that day-to-day spending, so you just kind of know what's coming in and going out every day, having some kind of plan for emergencies, making progress towards your financial goals, so that means you know what your goals are and you have a plan to start to move closer to them. And then also that just in that day-to-day that people have some financial freedom. So, you know, everybody has those things that are important to them, those personal priorities, and so you have a little bit of wiggle room in your budget to have a little bit of fun with your spending too. So it's finding the right balance for you individually with those different categories.
Yeah, not everybody's financial well-being would look the same, I assume.
Yeah, it might touch on all those different categories, but you're going to have different financial priorities, different goals, planning for emergencies for some people. You know, if you have money in the bank, that's terrific for, and that's certainly a goal to aim for, but for other people, right now it might be an open line of credit on a credit card. It might be a person that they could turn to. But having that conversation ahead of time so that person knows that you're kind of the emergency backup. So it's just paying attention to those different areas of our financial lives.
Those steps all seem to make some sense, but is there something available where if I want to find out what my financial well-being is, is there something that I can use to help me figure out the answers to all those questions?
Oh, of course. There's a online quiz for everything these days. So I can certainly share the the Bureau for Consumer Financial Protection has a financial well-being quiz that you can take online. It's just a handful of questions, and it asks things about, you know, how you could handle a big unexpected expense, or you know, if you had a party or an event to go to, how much would that stress you out? And then you can compare your score to the general population, you know, which is kind of fun, just seeing where you rank. But like I say, the most important thing is how you want to focus on that for yourself individually, what that score means for you.
And we'll make sure to put that quiz on the morning show page of the Wisconsin Public Radio website, WPR.org. You'll find a link there that you could find that quiz. Peggy Olive is our guest. She's financial capability specialist who holds a joint appointment with UW-Madison and UW Extension, Cooperative Extension. What do you think is the state of your financial life? Do you have a budget in place for day-to-day expenses? 800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. Or tweet us at WPR Mornings. If we're trying to achieve better financial well-being, how to get started? What are the first steps to take toward gaining control, for instance, over kind of step one there, the day-to-day expenses?
Sure. You know, I would say to look at your big picture. You know, think about that with the terms of financial well-being. Do you know what's coming in and going out day-to-day? Do you have some kind of plan for emergencies? Have you set financial goals? So think about that big picture and then start to focus on those small steps. So looking back 1 year from now, you know, what would bring you a little bit closer to that ideal financial situation? And we know about half the people even ever set some kind of goal, even try to achieve something or reach something. But unfortunately, then less than half ever actually reach that goal. And the number one reason that's cited in the research is that when people hit an obstacle or something happens they're not expecting, maybe one of those big unexpected expenses, then they throw the whole plan out the window. So I think, you know, knowing that your financial life, like any goal, is going to move forward in fits and starts, so kind of having a general idea of what you want to work on, and then definitely planning that, you know, things are going to get in the way, and you might have to hit the pause button on your goals moving forward, whether it's, you know, tracking spending or saving for emergencies or paying down debt, and then as soon as you can, get back on track.
How much is good to have in the bank for an emergency?
Again, that is so personal. Some of the benchmarks to look for are, you know, looking at your average monthly expenses. So take a look at, you know, how you would, if your income stopped, if something happened, how would you pay those living expenses, your rent or mortgage, the car payment, the utilities, the groceries, and add up that amount and start with that. I mean, that could be a first goal, to come up with 1 month of living expenses. So if something happened, you'd have that cushion. You know, and I say that, but I also know it can take months and months and months to save up that amount. So what's the backup plan meanwhile? You know, have the line of credit, have a person. So everyone needs just some kind of plan as they're working towards that savings or that kind of emergency fund.
Yeah, these are tough times for some folks. I'm sure someone listening to us is thinking that themselves. How can I make good financial decisions when the money is tight?
Yeah, and so that's why I like to think about it with the financial well-being, because you still have control over that day-to-day spending, knowing what's coming in, what's going out. You know, it might not be as much as you need or as what you'd like. You can still pay attention to it, and you can still develop that plan for emergencies, having conversations for people, and you can still think about and plan for your financial goals. You might not be putting money in the bank, but you could certainly be doing research and getting information about those goals. You know, whether it's a way-off retirement or whether it's a new car in the next year. So you could certainly be doing some of that legwork, even if you don't have the money to put towards it.
I've worked with my adult children a bit on trying to budget, and the big question is, how do you determine what categories need to be included in your budget and then how much goes into them? What's a good way to break that out?
I think the best way is to work backwards. So we're just a few days into January, so anyone that can hear the sound of my voice right now, I would throw down the gauntlet, because I don't think that's been banned yet, and I would challenge people to start tracking their spending. Just, you know, write down everything that you buy, and you can start to see patterns. So when you get to the end of January, you'll start seeing, oh, okay, well, I had food, but, you know, this was groceries, this was eating out, maybe this was snacks from the vending machine at work, or stopping and getting stuff at the gas station when I fill up. So you can start seeing your own patterns and your own behaviors, and, you know, no judgment when you're adding up those numbers. Just step back and look at your spending and the categories and say, you know, ask yourself if you're happy with that. Is that where you want your money to be going? Is that what brings you, it's your money, so is that, well, and with the case of your kids, Dean, it really might be your money. So your money, so, you know, are you spending it where, what brings you the most fulfillment?
How can you segment out, well, I tell you what, let's get to that later. I do want to point out regarding that, you know, taking stock of what you spend every day. The other thing that's nice about that is that you do get, it does make you a little more conscious about what you're spending. We'll get to that in a bit. Financial capability specialist from UW-Madison and UW-Extension, Peggy Olive, is joining us. Are money matters on your list for New Year's resolutions? Have you had success in setting fiscal goals for your personal finances? Maybe some tips you can share with us. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. Kate Archer Kent's off today. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbeck, in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about using the new year as a good trigger for fixing your finances. What's your financial resolution? And what are you doing to ensure financial well-being? 800-642-1234 is our number. Tweet us at WPR Mornings or email ideas at WPR.org. UW-Madison Financial Stability Specialist Peggy Olive is with us to answer those questions and mine. Peggy Olive, how about segmenting out your money? In other words, is it enough to have your money in a savings account, in a checking account, in a retirement account, or is there a better way to label your money so you know what money is for what?
We do know from behavioral economics that it does help people if they have a label or a category on their money. So before the break, we were talking about emergency funds. So if you set aside money, maybe you're saving it in a jar to start and then opening up a savings account, and that's labeled your emergency fund, that helps put some intention on that as opposed to the new car fund or the longer-term retirement fund. So it does help to be intentional to think about what that money's for. And then I think one of the challenges is, for example, with emergency funds, if people have an urgent situation or an unexpected expense and they have to tap into those funds, it doesn't feel good to take that money out because you've worked so hard to put it in. But that's what it's there for. So for some people, their emergency fund, it could be called, you know, a put-and-take fund. It could be, you know, put the money in as much as you can and then take it out when you really need it, when you can't cover expenses out of your current paycheck. So it does help to have the categories and even to have some different checking or savings, because if the money's out of your checking account, you're less likely to spend it or get that money out in cash at the ATM.
Yeah. I've already aged myself this program, so I'll do it again. I remember, you know, as a teenager when we had passbook savings accounts that paid 5.5%, and that was easy, you know, easy access money, and now you can't get anything, you know, that guarantees that sort of result. It feels problematic to me to build up a lot of savings in an account that's not earning you much interest. Are you better off putting it in something like a long-term CD or a money market or something like that, but then the access is less?
Yes, absolutely. So it really depends on your goal when you need that money. And granted, it is pretty discouraging when you have a little savings account and maybe you're getting a quarter of 1%. And we might see some of those savings rates going up as the different interest rates are going up. Yeah. So we might see some of that giving back to us as a consumer. But, you know, if it is a longer-term goal, maybe you need a new car, but it's still a few years out, you could look at a CD. And then typically you can get a higher return on your money. So thinking about when you need the money, how quickly you'd need to access that money, and we call it kind of laddering that savings, so having different pots of savings, that some that is liquid, you can access it right away in a savings account or a money market account or a share draft account or a CD. And then even those longer-term savings, maybe it's the retirement account or a children's savings account that you won't be using for 5, 10, 20 years even.
Another piece of financial well-being involves having the financial ability to absorb a shock. What does that mean, and how do you know you have enough?
That's some of those unexpected expenses that I had mentioned, and having some plan for emergencies. If you had an illness or an accident, you know, you might have lost wages at work, and then the double whammy is you might have some additional expenses or medical bills, or if it was a car accident, have to replace a car. So you have less money coming in and more bills also coming in. So that's kind of what we mean when we say a financial shock. So having that plan, whether it's the money in the bank or a line of credit or a backup support person can really help people absorb those shocks, because we know, you know, life is full of those unexpected expenses. Some are, you know, good things like an invitation on a trip or a concert, yeah. And many others are, you know, not so good.
Is that just a matter of having a savings account then?
Yes. I mean, if you can have enough to put in a savings account, and you can shop around a little bit, because different banks and credit unions require different minimums to open a savings account, anywhere from $5 at some credit unions to $100 or $300. So to get that amount and start putting it in a savings account. And then, you know, it's always a matter of self-control. So can you make it automatic? Can you have the money automatically deducted from your paycheck? So come up with an amount that feels right for you. Maybe it's $10 or $20 from each paycheck is a place to start, seeing if you miss that. If you can get by without that money, maybe you can make it a little bit more. And once you make it automatic, you really don't have to go back and worry about not spending that money in your checking account. So that's one way we can kind of build in a little bit more self-control around some of those goals.
Peggy Olive is Financial Capability Specialist with UW-Madison and UW Extension Cooperative Extension. Peggy, another facet of financial well-being is being on track to meet financial goals. And I assume these mean like some long-term goals. What can that look like?
Sure. And as I mentioned, if you have the money to put towards goals, that's great. And if not, you can certainly start doing some research. So making progress towards financial goals could be anything like saving up that, starting with a 1 month of an emergency fund and then maybe working up to 3 months over the years so you could cover those expenses and extra bills if something happens. And then also thinking a longer term down the road. You mentioned retirement. You might have a child heading off to college in 5 or 10 years. So children's savings accounts are special longer-term savings accounts to pay for higher education expenses, you know, for yourself or a child. So even doing that research to figure out where's the best place to put that money. And then, it all goes back to tracking the spending to figure out where you're spending your money, if that's where you want to be spending it, or if you'd rather be taking some of that money and matching it to your goals and putting it towards your future.
Are there some apps that you can use to help you track your progress on this sort of thing, and preferably free or cheap ones?
Oh, sure. I'm all about free or cheap. So start with your financial institution. Mm. Many of them have great online apps. If you do any online banking, many of them track the spending. They put in different categories. You get different pie charts and things that could be very motivating to look where your spending is going. And then there's, I would just say to get on and search for different apps. There's some popular ones. I mean, Mint is one of the most popular spending ones where you can attach that to your own financial accounts. So there's many there. There's some that can send you a text message if you're going over a limit for the month. So it all depends on what you want that app to do for you. Do you want it to spend less? Do you want to be more conscious of your spending? Do you just want to track where your money's going? And there's definitely many free ones to choose from that provide a great basic service. And if you like it, I'm sure they'd be happy to sell you the upgraded version.
As we get ready to close our conversation, how does debt come into play here? And at what point is debt a part of our overall financial picture, especially when we consider the state of our financial well-being?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's some debt that we can expect. You know, maybe it's the car or the home, or maybe it's a larger bill of sending someone to college. And then there's other debt we know is very stressful for people, and it can actually lead people to feel more depressed about their situation. And that's kind of that shorter-term consumer debt. That's when people take on debt for those expenses that, you know, maybe it was an accident or an illness or something that happened.
And having to find a way to pay off those credit cards, probably by borrowing elsewhere. Peggy, we're out of time. I do thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and now you can put this one in the books.
Thank you, Peggy Olive. Peggy Olive, a financial capability specialist who holds a joint appointment with the School of Human Ecology Center for Financial Security at UW-Madison and the UW Extension Cooperative Extension. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.